Good evening to everyone. My name is Jeremy Moore, and I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's special group call for the Moore Success Team. We do this call the very first Monday of every month, so go ahead and mark your calendars for the September first Monday of the month, because we do this call at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, exclusively devoted to helping you build your group marketing business. But we've got an exciting call tonight, somebody that I really, truly respect and admire, and I consider him a close friend. It's always a pleasure to be able to spend time with him at all of our events and the upcoming event, looking forward to in Dallas. But to get things kicked off, I could go all the way to Ada, Oklahoma, to the Executive Vice President of Prepaid Legal, Platinum 5 Executive Director, $500,000 income earner, the leader of the Moore Success Team, but most importantly, he's my pawpaw, and that's Mr. Ken Moore. Pawpaw, are you there? Pawpaw?
Can you hear me, Jeremy?
I can now.
Okay, well, I kept speaking. I guess something. Okay, Jeremy, it is great. Sound like a lot of great folks on the call tonight. Of course, there always is. This next speaker, Jeremy, is an outstanding trainer, outstanding speaker. He's an outstanding Christian and a great friend. $100,000 ring owner, senior RVP in North Carolina, and I could just go on and on. But it's a great privilege and honor to welcome my personal friend, Mr. Agar Thomas.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Loud and clear, my friend.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on the call. And I got to tell you, I feel somewhat challenged, I guess, in some respects, because I know of all the good people that you have and the great people that you guys have on your organization from every different facet of our business, you know, because we got six facets of our business. You know, you got the family plan direct sales, and then you got the group sales, small business, CDL, or the specialty sales, IDT, and safeguard for minors. So, you know, we got so many different facets of our business. So when you talk about the group facet, you know, I feel somewhat, you know, with all the different ring earners and guys you guys have, people that I have looked up to, you know, like Miss Yvette Nail, she's been my mentor and still is my mentor for years and years and years. I pattern what I did within my group schools just like her. And it's a funny thing because when I first became a group VP, Mr. Moore, the first trainer we went to, I think Miss Mail had been the trainer of the year for like 3 years in a row, and just listening to some of the different things that she did, but then also challenges that she had. And I just kind of latched on to her, and next thing I know, you know, we call each other. She's my little buddy, and I'm her big buddy, and Mr. Kyle Cambrell, you know, and Mr. Jimmy Parrish, and we can just go on and on and on. And, of course, my friend Mr. Jeremy, you know, he even gets me to work a group down here in Charlotte for him every year. And so you know, I feel somewhat like, oh, my goodness, what can I tell this group? I just want to share just a couple of nuggets that I have picked up here recently. You know, we had trainers here recently, and one of the things that we talked about was that, you know, you really, in the group arena, you got to pay close attention to articles. Pay close attention to the articles that you come across. And here's what I mean by that. You know, the newspaper can be our best friend. You know, I hear Mr. Stonecipher say it all the time, you know, the prepaid legal newspaper as far as the USA Today or whatever the case may be. And there was a couple of articles that came up out there while we were out there. One of the articles, Tony Petrell talked about it, and it was an article that was in, I think it actually was in the July issue of the New York Times, and it was talking about how stress can, you know, can really ravage the body, you know, and it's talking about how 90% of the doctors are talking about how the people that they come to them is stress related, and you know, what other stress related issue can you have rather than a legal issue, you know, and so, you know, there are questions that you could ask, you know, do you have a wellness program? You know, I've always said that selling is not telling, but selling is actually asking. You know, you got to ask questions about things. That's the way you sell things, because what happens is, man, it's a fixed fight. So understand that, you know, the question that you're asking, you know, I always tell people, never ask a question that you don't know the answer to already. You know what I mean? You know the answer already. You know what you're trying to get. So automatically, when you say what you say, you already know. You say, well, look, listen, you know, do you have a wellness program in place? What kind of things are you all doing to help reduce stress? Now, here's something that, you know, we learned out there at Train the Trainers that Tony Petrell talked about, and it was talking about now I'm not telling you to get into the book about what the health care for President Obama, what his health care program is talking about, but one of the things that, you know, Tony mentioned was they were talking about that, you know, as people's bad health went up, then it was going to cost companies more money when the health care program kicks in 2014. Well, see, if you're talking about situations where, you know, legal services can bring on stress, and what other kind of stress can you figure? You know, we see the person with their eyebrows all scrunched up and everything as far as having stress is concerned. And what other way, you know, you're talking about now having a legal service program that's going to reduce that stress. You know, because our program, you know, it does reduce stress because now people have access to attorneys. They don't have to be worried about stuff like that. You know, another great article that just recently came out, too, from my friend Bob Levy down in Atlanta had pointed this out to me, and it's talking about in jail. You can just Google it, called in jail for bad debts, especially up in the Minnesota area. Well, what it was talking about is that debtor's prison was abolished in the United States years and years ago. But what's happening is that there were people that actually be in jail for as little as $85 being owed on a debt or on a credit card or something like that for them not paid. Now, here's what I'm saying. You know, in speaking with Rick Campbell from down there in the Georgia law firm, you know, the question was put to him, said, well, now, let me ask you this. If this were a prepaid legal member, you know, would they have those issues that's involved? Say, of course not, because the attorneys would know exactly what to do in a situation like that, because, once again, debtor's prison was abolished. But people are being hauled off to prison, staying in jail cells for 3 and 4 hours, all because of a debt that was owed. And the thing that they were saying about that, Mr. Moore, is they were saying that is the government is paying for this because, you know, with the judges and the court system that's involved. Here's what I'm saying. The whole point about that is this, not so much to talk about the articles as it is to talk about the articles, in that you need to look at what articles are saying. When you look at the newspaper now, think about what this means as far as a company is concerned, what it means as far as an individual, what it means as far as a company is concerned. Another article, and even though this was done by one of our, what I call, not competition, because we don't have any competition, we have some competitors. You know, we don't have any competition because nobody does it the way we do it. There's an article that was done by ARAG, and it talks about how ARAG is talking about legal woes are affecting companies. Well, in that article, it talks about 7 of 10 people have one or more legal woes that they have on the job. See, ladies and gentlemen, you can use that to your advantage when you're in front of a decision maker. You know, and the other thing that it said, it pointed out that, you know, the average person spent 57 hours while at work handling these legal situations. 57 hours while at work. Now, I tell people, you can use this. This is a great one to use for the, and it doesn't matter how many employees the company has, but I said, let's start with 10. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's say ABC company has 10 employees, and let's say the average wage is $10 per hour for those 10 employees. Okay, now according to the ARAG article, and here's what I love, the reason I like to use that ARAG article, they can't say that prepaid legal tainted it. They can't say that we twisted it to our advantage. Now, why am I not worried about using the ARAG article once again? It's because the fact that, you know, 89% of all businesses in America have 20 or fewer employees. 89% of all businesses in America have 20 or fewer employees. About 96% of all businesses have 100 or fewer employees. Now, when you start getting into that range, and you start getting the range of the 3%, guess what? Now you got a different situation. ARAG doesn't even touch any companies unless they have at least 1,000 employees or more. So I can use those stats to my advantage. So here's what it says. 7 of 10 people have legal issues, one or more legal woes. Then it said, people taking an average of 13 days off from work. I don't even use that one. I could use that one, and that would be great. But I use the one where it says they spend 57 hours while at work handling these legal issues. So here's what I do. I said, okay, let's take a company that makes that they have 10 employees, ABC Company had 10 employees. And if you don't mind, I know I can't see you, but take a pad and pen out and put this down because I want you to believe what I'm trying to tell you, and I want you to see it, okay? So make sure everybody get the pad and pen. For the ones who don't want to pick the pad and pen up, go ahead and pick the pad and pen up anyway, okay? I know I'm talking to somebody, and some of y'all think, I know he don't see me, but yes, I do. I can tell you didn't put the pad and pen up. So pick the pad and pen up. Now, put down 10 employees, and it's $10 per, they average $10 per hour, okay? Now, according to the ARAG article, it says that 7 out of 10 people have legal, at least one or more legal woes, and they're handling, and they're taking as much as 57 hours on the job. So what you do is you take 57 hours, multiply that times 10, so that's $570. Then you multiply that times 7. Now, if you multiply that times 7, I think you're going to come up with $3,990. So here's what you can say to Mr. ABC employer. They only have 10 employees. You say, Mr. and Mrs. employer, right now you're losing $3,990 according to this article that was done by this company that evaluates legal woes and legal issues on the job. You're losing about $3,990 a year by doing nothing. Now what I want you to do is I want you to take $25.90, which is the $15.95 plus $9.95, $25.90, multiply that times 12, which comes to be $310.80, and then multiply that times 10 by the total number of employees. So that's $3,108. Now here's watch this now. This is so beautiful about this. Mr. and Mrs. Employer, right now you're losing $3,908.90 per year with 7 out of 10 of your employees having stuff on the job at an average of 57 hours a year. If you paid for all 10 of your employees, if you paid for all 10 of your employees, if you subtract the $3,108 from $3,990, you will save $892. So here's what we say it. By paying for all 10 of your employees, you're going to get a chance to write that off anyway as an employee benefit. And you still are saving $800 and some because when you subtract that from the $3,990, you're still saving money by them paying for it, but they can write the whole thing off. That's a great way to look at trying to get a friend's benefit. Now, if the company says for whatever reason, cash flow-wise, they can't afford to really put that much out, that's when you can back up and say, well, what about what portion of this would you want to do? Would you not want all of your employees to do that since you can save up to $890-something by all of your employees having this? So make it as convenient for them as possible. You know, what about doing a partial friends for them? You know, with our program, a partial friends can be $5, it can be $10, it can be half of it, it can be most of it. It can be just about all of it, you know, as far as the partial fringe is concerned. So the point I'm making is that, you know, use those articles to your advantage. The other thing that I think you can do from the other standpoint, too, because a lot of people, you know, when they get in prepaid, you know, they start thinking about, you know, where do I need to go? You know, who do I need to talk to? You know, why not, especially if you sign anybody up at all, why not start with the people that you signed up? They work someplace. And just ask them, to, you know, where do you work? Do you know the person that's in charge of benefits on your job? You know, and Fred Duff talks about this a lot, about going through the organization and just asking for so many people who work the business part-time, going through the organization and asking the question, hey, you know, let me ask you a question. You know, if you work in this business part-time, who does your benefits? What kind of rapport do you have with the person that's in charge of your benefits? Okay? The reason that I was asking that question is because, you know, what you can say to them is, and in fact, we just did this with a school system. One of my associates, she's a teacher assistant at one of the school systems. Well, she knows the superintendent. And we sat down with the superintendent last month, the day a week ago at 7:30 a.m. We sat down with the superintendent. He gave us a meeting. Why? Because here's what she told us. She's an associate. He doesn't know she's an associate. I told her, tell him that you have this plan that you have through prepaid. And one of the things the person that sold it to you told you was, is that you could get it cheaper if it was offered on the job, and that over 40-some thousand companies are offering it as a benefit right now anyway, And what most people like about it is the fact that it didn't cost the companies any money. Now, I can't give you all the details about it, but do you mind if I come along with him since he wrote me up and he can tell you about how it's done and how some of the other school systems are doing this? Guess what? We went in there and met with the superintendent, and guess what? The first step is already out of the way. We're now at step two now because he has told us exactly who we needed to be talking to. I wanted to go to the head guy. So what I'm saying is many times what we have done is we make it a lot tougher on ourselves because we think, well, who do I go to? How do I go? You know, I tell people all the time, my first 14 groups that I did, Mr. Moore, I never did a formal presentation. That's the reason initially I was better at presenting to the employees than I was at presenting to the decision maker. Let me tell you why I say that. The lady at my church was the assistant to the CEO who owned about 18 different companies. One Sunday, I said these words to her. I said, Queen, that was her name. She actually, her name really is Queen. I said, Queen, I said, if that were a benefit that could be offered to the employees that wouldn't cost the company any money, is that something you could decide as the assistant to the CEO, or would I have to go through Mr. Blackwell? She said, no, I could make that decision. I said, I'll be down there tomorrow. I went down there that Monday. I explained to her what was what. She signed all 14 of my gold cards. Then she got in contact with the managers of different places, and she said, Agar Thomas is going to be getting in contact with you. You need to have a meeting with the employees because we have a new benefit that's involved for the company. So I really didn't, you know, my first 14 groups as I started, I never made a formal presentation. So I was, you know, and I worked those 14 groups probably for the, you know, 6 months to three-quarters of the year, you know, with working them, servicing them back and forth and stuff like that. So, you know, my point is that I'm no different from anybody else that's on this call. There are some people on this call that you have some people in your church that they're some assistants to the CEOs. You have some people in your church that are HR directors that think quite highly of you. So what I'm saying is use that to your advantage. Leverage that, and then you won't have to be worried about going out here cold calling. And then once you get one person, then you're always going to ask the question, well, who else do you know? Well, it turns out that the CEO, I ended up recruiting that CEO of that company, and the CEO turned out to be president of an association. And he got me into a lot of other companies as far as that was concerned as well. But it all started with who? The lady in my church that I knew what she did, and I just asked her a question. So, you know, it wasn't near as hard for me in getting started like it would be for some other people. So, you know, with that said, I hope that helps some people as far as, you know, some contacts are concerned and utilizing articles and things of that nature. And if you got any questions for me, I'd be glad to answer those, Mr. Moore. But I'm just elated that you would pick a guy like me to be on a call like this, considering all the repertoire of the people that y'all have on the call yourselves anyway, with those big-time hitters and heavy hitters which y'all have on the, in your organization. Back to you, sir.
Well, I tell you what, we're always an honor to have you any place around close to us, Agar. We just feel like you're part of the family. Appreciate all this good information. I'm sure Jeremy and Randy were going to have some questions for you here. Besides, you got 10 more minutes to go, man. You can preach.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's a funny thing. You know, the organization I'm in, I'm going to share this with you and the Moore group. The organization I'm in, the way it's structured, we don't really have a active upline platinum that likes to have a call like this. And, you know, I was saying to myself, and I guess it was just wishful thinking one day, because I tell you, I remember, I never will remember, forget that back when I got the Trainer of the Year, that I think y'all had those little bubbles or something that y'all were just hitting against each other.
Right.
And
exactly.
When it was announced, the Moore group just went up, and I felt like I said, man, I said, boy, didn't nobody know any better. They think I was a part of the Moore group.
I thought you were. You mean you're not?
I feel like I'm an honorary member anyway. Okay?
Yes, you better believe you are.
let me tell you what happened. There was a young lady that she was in like a side organization of mine, and I knew her. And so I asked her one time. She said, well, here's a list of my upline structure. Well, the way she had listed down, it had you as being the upline platinum, and it's so funny because I knew this was true, but I guess I must have dreamed this because she was in my group school, and I actually made a call, and I was talking to Tiffany about it. And Tiffany said, well, where'd you get that from? I said, Tiffany, I could have sworn that I talked to the lady. So the next day when the lady came to my group school, I said, didn't you show me? She said, no, I ain't show you anything like that. I said, you can't show me that. She said, I ain't showed you anything like that. So I guess I was just wishful thinking, I guess.
But just keep on dreaming, my friend. We love it.
Dawned on me, I said,
dreams do come true sometimes, you know.
I would have known that already.
Randy?
Randy's got himself muted out there. Jeremy?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Oh, there we go. There we go. Go ahead. I could never hear your dad there. I knew he was on, but I couldn't hear him. I know you got some questions for Agar there. Go ahead.
Well, Agar, first of all, I just want to thank you for taking time out for being on the call tonight, and I really hope people are taking – those are some really, really good practical tips to utilize and for somebody just getting started in group business. Do you have any suggestions as far as, people always ask me all the time, do I need to join civic groups or associations and things like that? And have you had any success in joining those networking type groups and things like that of that nature?
Well, now, and I always tell people, don't go by what I did. Don't go by what I say, when it comes to that, because each person is different. Because I think where the hook comes in at is that it's based on who you know and who you can get in with. Now, some people are very good when it comes to joining those associations like that, and some join a lot of those civic groups and stuff, Chamber of Commerce and stuff like that. I hear a lot of people that they do that and they have a lot of success with it. Me, I guess it's been easier for me to just deal with people that I knew. And then once I got somebody I knew, like, for instance, Queen, she introduced me to her boss. And then from her boss, he turned around and got in the business. And then he introduced me to about two or three other business owners like himself, so that I was actually once a year going down to their association. And I didn't have to join the association.
So you work through relationships, just building individual relationships and work through those relationships you've already established.
Exactly. Now, there were a couple of times that for a few years I did rent a booth at this particular association. But now I did that for my own reasons, because that I was just kind of getting some of the other people to get to know me, and the president was promoting me as well. Especially by him being an associate as well, he promoted me to the other saying, "Well, look, I have it with all my companies, and I think this is something you all need to look at." After that, I actually stopped even spending the money as far as even a booth is concerned. And I tell people all the time, because some people say, what about going in together on these HR booths and stuff like that? I know of a lot of people that have done stuff like that. I don't know of anybody that's told me they've gotten a bunch of groups out of it because of them being a member of those.
So basically what you're trying to say, it's really, as far as networking and group marketing, it all comes down to building those individual relationships, those one-on-one relationships.
And if you do that, and you pay close attention to that and continue to do that, what would happen is that you'll get more business in your level one, because once you get one, then you can start asking for some referrals.
Exactly.
That's the way that works with that. So, yeah, I would never tell Jeremy, I would never tell anybody not to do that, because if somebody's got a hook like that, that they can do it and they can get in and get some groups, then fine. I'm just saying for me,
it
has been something that I did that much.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Agar. You've been at this longer than I have, but from your perspective in recruiting to the group market arena, do you find that how more people today, are they more receptive today to what prepaid legal is all about, especially now we have identity theft product, than they were even 6 months, a year ago?
Yeah, a lot more receptive, especially insurance agents and people in the financial arena, because they have been shortchanged so much when it comes to their commissions or their territory being cut down. And there are a lot of people who at one time, when things were going really, really well for them in the insurance industry part of things, you couldn't even get them to look at prepaid. Now you go back to them, and I would say to people, the insurance agent that you talked to 6 months, a year ago, or 2 years ago that gave you the real, real cold shoulder, go back and visit them again, because you'll find that, what's happening is that this is something that people can utilize and their clients can utilize. And here's how I always say it. I just say it like this to them. I said, if you were my client, I get all my insurance from you. I get all my insurance from you. So if, obviously, as far as prepaid legal is concerned, I would have gotten prepaid from you as well. But let me just ask you a question. What would be the scenario if the person that sold me the prepaid was also an insurance agent? If he gave me something that was great like prepaid, and I'm excited about prepaid, then I would also be open to him or her when they said, well, you know, I don't know whether we can save any money or not, but, you know, we also do this health insurance or car insurance, whatever. I'd like to just give you a quote on it. Well, guess what? I'm more receptive to that now. And so I tell people, you know, it's not so much of you, the fact that you don't want to offer it because of the fact that you're not interested, but, you know, it can save you some business and make you some additional money. I've got a person right now that, one of my insurance agents, in fact, what she did, she's a Colonial agent. And I'll be honest with you, this is what she did, Jeremy. She's got a city account, a municipality that's got 2,500 employees. Now, if you ever dealt with Colonial agents, one of the things Colonial agents would do, which is smart on that part, they would negotiate with whoever it is that has the major medical coverage there, and they'll say to them, look, I'll go ahead and present all this for you. I'll present this coverage for you, and in the meantime, I'm going to pay you a fee so that I now can present my supplemental stuff to Colonial. Well, this one particular lady is very, very sharp, but what she did is she got me to go in, and I recruited her. She got me to go in to do prepaid. And I found out later on I couldn't understand why she was not promoting prepaid like she should have. And then she finally said to me that there was one time when there was a prepaid associate that was in one of her accounts, and by the time everybody got through buying prepaid, there wasn't any money left for Colonial. So basically what she did, and I know this is crazy, Jeremy, it's not going to sound like it makes any sense, and it doesn't to me. She put prepaid in really so that nobody else could put prepaid in. She doesn't do that much with prepaid. She's sitting in front of 2,500 people, and I doubt if she has 250 applications out of 2,500 people. But she did it mainly, I think, just to keep anybody else out. And she, you know, she might do a little something with it every now and then at the open enrollment, but nothing like what she should. So, you know, once again, sometimes you have to find some agents that they're looking for ways to make supplemental income, some independent agents especially, and talk to them and show them how, look, this can be another revenue stream for you with your current clientele. They may not be buying anything else from you, but they'll buy a prepaid legal plan. And especially if you find a person that's a property and casualty agent. A property and casualty agent, think about it. One of the things that they tell you when they get you writing up your car insurance is, you know, if you get in the tickets, that's going to make your insurance go up. And obviously, if you have an accident, it's going to do the same thing. And here's how I like to do it. I like to see it like this. I ask the question, I said, well, let me ask you a question. If your car insurance company called you up today and they told you, they said, listen, there's a hole in your insurance, and we really don't have anything that we can do about it. And it's about the vehicle homicide. I mean, we don't have anything that'll cover it. But we found a company that we can partner with, and for only 87 cents a day, we can add that on. All I need is your okay verbally. If I get your verbal okay, I'll just add you to the plan. I said, is there anybody in here that would say, no, don't add me on, considering that it may cost me $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. I said, is there anybody in here that would say that? I said, is there anybody in here that would say, even though your spouse is out there driving and all you have to do is add it on, that no, don't add it on, let me talk to my spouse about this first? Nobody says that. I said, well, just keep that in mind when we get to the end. So when we get to the end of the presentation, you know, it's kind of hard for them to say, turn around and say, well, listen, you know, I need to think about this because after all, and that reminds me about one other closing question that I got from a guy, and I got to share this with you before we finish, and that's this. You know, by asking a question to somebody saying, how much would you sell me your identity for? I mean, just, you know, how much would you send me your Social Security number for or whatever? How much would you send me your identity for? You know, I've got a blank check. And I've asked that question in my group several times when I get started. And I've had maybe a couple of people maybe say $10 million or something like that. But as a whole, other than two or three people, everybody basically says they would not sell me their identity for any price in the world. I said, so in other words, what you're saying to me is that your identity is priceless. I said, well, if that be the case, if you wouldn't sell me your identity for any price, how much are you willing to pay to protect it? It's kind of tough for somebody now when you get down to the end to not want to pay whatever it is, because if they wouldn't sell it for any amount of money, how are they going to turn around now and justify not purchasing it now after they said they wouldn't take any amount of money as far as selling their identity is concerned? So, you know, it should be a lot easier with financial planners and insurance agents now than it used to be. They're a lot more open now.
Well, I tell you what, if people didn't get some good out of this call, there's just something wrong with them, Agar. You did a phenomenal job, and I can't wait to see you and Michelle in Dallas in just a few short weeks. And thank you so very much for being on the call tonight.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on the call. And
thank you,
Agar. I appreciate you so much.
Agar, this is Randy. I want to thank you and Michelle for being our friends. And, gosh, you've even spoke at some of our breakouts before, and we appreciate you. So don't ever think for one instant that you're not part of our team because you are.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that, okay?
You
guys be blessed,
you.
All right?
Hey, thank you, Agar.
Okay, thank you.
Randy, another phenomenal call. Just keep in mind that next in September, the first Monday of every month at 8 p.m., we have a special group trainer. You want to get, if you have any interest at all in the group marketing arena, you need to plug in and be on that call. We've got a very special call, our regular call coming up in about a little less than 30 minutes now. We have Ms. Kathy Pinson, the controller of Prepaid Legal. She's going to be going over some phenomenal new announcements that were announced today, some promotions going on in Prepaid Legal. You don't want to miss it, as well as our featured executive director trainers tonight, our $100,000 income earners, Ray and Linda Rios from Arizona. They will be on the call. So we got a power-packed call lined up for you guys in a little less than 30 minutes. So I hope every one of you can be on that call. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Paul.
Well, Jeremy Webb was a great call. AJR is a great gentleman. He knows what he's doing. He's been doing it many years now. We certainly appreciate him being on, but I certainly encourage everyone to be sure to be on this next call. All the new things to be talked about, and I think at the end of it, Kyle Kimbrell is going to have some things to say, and maybe one or two other people, but it's going to be a great call. It's good information. You need it. So God bless you, and we'll listen for you in about 25 minutes.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.